Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Christopher Cruz. Vice President Harris and former President Donald Trump meet tonight on a stage in Philadelphia for their high-stakes presidential debate.
The two candidates will be face-to-face for the very first time.
These debates are the only opportunities during campaigns to have these candidates within the same space, seeing them react to each other.
Political analyst Amy Dacey says what Harris needs to do:
set out some of her policy priorities. And also, she's got to set a clear contrast with Donald Trump,
who she says,
I don't think he can do his usual platitudes or personal attacks he likes to do. I think people really need to understand what's his vision.
Stacey Lynn, CBS News, the White House.
Residents of Terrebonne Parish in Louisiana are making and laying sandbags as a tropical storm approaches that will be a hurricane by the time it gets to the Gulf Coast. Kim Chauvin lives in the parish on Louisiana's coast.
We're always nervous after Ida, and so it's very fresh in our memories of what we've gone through with Ida. So people are taking it serious.
The storm is forecast to make landfall tomorrow afternoon. Days of triple-digit temperatures have fed a wildfire in the foothills of a national forest east of Los Angeles. About 6,000 people have fled their homes. Here's CBS's Ben Tracy.
The fire is creating its own unpredictable weather system amid triple-digit heat.
It's really giving us a run for our money.
Brent Pasqua is with Cal Fire.
What is the biggest challenge facing firefighters right now?
So the biggest challenge is the unknown. We can't predict if it's going to head to the west or the east.
Another wildfire in Northern California has burned at least 30 structures.
The man suspected of shooting and wounding five people on an interstate in Kentucky reportedly sent chilling texts to a woman less than 30 minutes before the shooting. CBS's Christian Benavides has details from the arrest warrant for Joseph Couch.
The text read in part, "I'm going to kill a lot of people, well, try at least," and another message saying, "I'll kill myself afterwards."
And we're learning more about missed warning signs in the days and months before last week's deadly shooting at a high school in Georgia. Police video shows the accused gunman and his father being questioned last year about threats he allegedly made online. More now from CBS's Mark Strassman.
He knows the seriousness of weapons and what they can do and how to use them and not use them.
It's May 2023. A deputy is questioning Colin Gray and his son Colt Gray about an online threat made against a school. The teen denies making it.
This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
The Kitchen's Open on WFHR, a feature within the morning show every Monday at 9. Join me, Melissa Kay, and my guests to learn about food-related topics that will interest and entertain.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Two new polls show a tight presidential race in Wisconsin. Terry Bell reports.
The CBS News YouGov poll finds 51% of likely voters favor Kamala Harris, while 49% back Donald Trump. Meanwhile, consulting firm Platform Communications finds Harris leading Trump with likely Wisconsin voters 48% to 45%. I'm Terry Bell.
Both polls put Harris's lead inside the margin of error. Democratic vice presidential nominee Tim Walz returns to Wisconsin later this week. Walz will appear at different political events in Wausau on Friday night, then stump in Superior on Saturday afternoon. Walz spoke at Milwaukee's Labor Fest on Labor Day. Donald Trump spoke to a rally in central Wisconsin over the weekend. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
The Packers will have to get by without QB1. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. Jordan Love is expected to miss 3 to 6 weeks with an MCL sprain, and head coach Matt LaFleur says that rumors of the Packers looking for another quarterback are unfounded.
Despite reports, it's crazy to me, like, how people come up with some of these things, and I think you're always you explore every possibility, but at no point in time did we ever have any discussions with anybody.
On Sunday, it will be the Green Bay Packers taking on the Indianapolis Colts as each team seeks its first victory. Wisconsin football plays Alabama this week, and head coach Luke Fickle says that they're the best program in college football.
Over the last 20 years, who's been the best team in college football? And there's no doubt it's been Alabama. So regardless of where they are at this moment, this is as good a football team that there is in the country and has been for a really, really long time. And
kickoff is at 11 a.m. Saturday. And tonight, the Brewers begin a six-game road trip in San Francisco. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska for Civic Media Sports.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A beautiful night with mostly clear skies and light winds. Temperatures by dawn will be in the lower 50s. On your Tuesday, mostly sunny skies. South winds turning gusty, up around 20 miles per hour. Highs in the lower 80s, mid-80s Wednesday. It's 53 at our studios.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome author, comedian Roger Rittenhouse, who will discuss his new book, Big Techs, and Tim Sowers from the Overture Center in Madison drops by to discuss their upcoming slate.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. Whatever gets you through the night, it's all right, it's all right. And now, a guy who considers a silver medal a participation award, Pete Schwabba.
It is. I got no use for silver medalists or bronze. See ya later. Take a hike. I'm joking, of course. Please, people. Hey, welcome to Nightlight. This is fun. It's Monday. It's a new week. It's a chance to start fresh. We're certainly going to do that here in talking about show business and entertainment and music and comedy and all the things we like to talk about here on Nightlight on a nightly basis. Great to have you with me. Wherever you are joining us from, welcome, welcome. We are having problems, as I understand it, with our Facebook stream, but hopefully that will get ironed out. So if you're a usual Facebook viewer, hang tough. We are still on Twitter and YouTube. Right, Conrad?
Yes, we're under okay. Civic Media's YouTube and WGBW, and then on Civic Media on X.
Okay, so, perfect. So yep. There are other viewing options. Yep. Either way, great to have you with us on this Monday night. As we kick off the new week, what do you do? You had Friday off. What happened there? How'd it go?
Well, it turned out to be a bad day.
Cause you took Friday off to celebrate your beloved Packers who
yes.
were playing in Brazil.
Yep.
And, hey, you know, what's funny? Friday night, I did the show from home and I thought, you know what? I want another guest. So I added a third guest in John Mino, who's yeah. a phenomenal guest. Every time he's on the show, he's so much fun. And I booked him for like 7:05, and I was like, man, I wonder if John forgot the Packers were on Friday. But no, he didn't, and he was a lot of fun. And we had Dom. This is our first show where Dom Salvia, the Dom Salvia Show, is our lead-in. So yep, that's exciting, yep. too. And congrats to Dom. He was a lot of fun the other night. We had a great talk when he was a guest on the show. It was like a Civic Media All-Star Show on Friday, and it was a lot of fun. So but you took the night off, so that's a bummer. I'm sorry about your Packers that had to,
yeah,
that had to suck. Cause they were, I mean, look, Philly's a good team.
Yeah. I mean, we, you know, it sucks is that we could have won that game easily if, you know, we got two turnovers in the first quarter.
Yeah.
Back to back drives. And then we couldn't score. So that was a shame there.
Yeah. And Love, decent news though about Jordan Love.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you're going to get injured in this game,
yeah.
right? I mean,
yeah.
I think Packer fans have had it really easy with Favre and Rodgers, who are pretty much Teflon durability, except for Rodgers early in his career. I know he broke his foot or something like that. But after that.
I mean, so he had a collarbone, I think that was, broke his collarbone. And then, but we had a really good backup then in Matt Flynn.
Matt Flynn, that's right.
And,
oh, man, did he cash in. He had one great game and yeah. made like $25 million or something like that from it.
I wasn't worried when Matt Flynn was the backup, but now I'm like, oof, he's going to be a couple tough games.
Yeah, but, you know,
you might sign someone. They're looking at Tannehill, as I understand it.
It would be hilarious if when he faced the Titans, we have Ryan Tannehill and Malik Willis, who last year were their quarterbacks.
Oh, right. Oh, Malik Willis is not a rookie.
No, he's in his third season now. Yeah, third season.
Okay.
But it'd be hilarious if we beat the Titans with their quarterback room
before. Oh, for sure. But I think it's good luck for quarterbacks to wear the Packer uniform. You've always had good quarterback coaches, for one thing. And the second, and the durability thing, like, you know, Rodgers didn't have a serious injury until he left the Packers. And he was like 90 years old and he hurt his Achilles. But like, you know, if Love was out for the year, that argument, you could throw it out the window. But even when he supposedly popped his knee, I didn't see it.
Oh,
I saw the replay. Yeah. But did you see the pop?
Yes. Yeah, you really had to look at it. It's not as bad as, you know, you look at these Achilles tears and stuff like that when you really see the pop.
Yeah.
That one you could kind of see it, and I was really praying for the best, which
you kind of got.
3 to 4 weeks tops, I believe. So
it was a good night off, but you watched it with a Philly fan. They are the worst fans.
Well,
I'm not saying your buddy is, but like as a rule, Philly fans are terrible.
You know, he was like, I'm kind of sad. I didn't want to see Jordan Love get injured.
Yeah.
I wanted to see him go on that last drive, obviously. Sure. But
yeah. That was a tall order anyway, but.
And then we put a backup in there. I wasn't expecting anything.
Might as well have been me. I mean, but so anyway, we got a great show tonight. Greg Liena is here at 6:35. Greg is the creator of the Meet the Parents franchise. He made an independent film, which they turned into, you know, the big studio trilogy. Or did they make four?
They made three.
I think three.
Yeah, three.
Yeah. So Greg will be here to talk about, he's releasing his version and he's going to tell us where to see it. And I highly recommend it. I've written scripts with Greg. We've had some success in selling stuff, which has been fun. Great guy to write with. We always had a blast. And we're still trying to sell a couple things, but it's a little slow going. But Greg is a great guy and fun to talk to. And his version of Meet the Parents is much darker than the studio version. I highly recommend it. So Greg will tell us where we can see it. That's coming up at 6:35. And then author and casting director Rex Sykes will be here at 8:20 to talk about the casting process, which we haven't really delved into here at Nightlight. It's a fascinating process, though. And Rex will talk a little bit about his new book as well. So fun show, covering a couple different bases. Our question tonight, all right, so the movie Sully dropped today. It was released today in 2016. Do you know who the star of Sully was?
It was Tom Hanks.
Yes.
I only know that because I looked it up.
I only know that because Tom Hanks is the star of every movie ever made. So it's a pretty safe guess either way. I have never seen Sully. And I think you and I have talked about this on this show. You've seen it and loved it, right?
That wasn't the movie I've seen, no.
Oh, okay.
I've never seen that, no.
Somebody was on this show and said, oh, you have to see Sully. I've never seen it. So our question tonight is, what's a movie you can't believe you haven't seen yet? What's a movie you can't believe you've never seen? Because sometimes they come and go. And Mike Schmidt was on the show recently and said, sometimes when there's big hype around a movie, and he doesn't see it opening weekend, he just won't see it for a while. And then before you know it, you never see it. That's kind of what happens with me sometimes. So that's our question. What's a movie you can't believe you haven't seen? One of mine would be Sully. And you can let us know at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Let us know on the text line or find us somehow. It's just nice to be found.
That's true.
Right?
Yeah.
Other birthdays, your idol, Adam Sandler, turns 58 today.
Mm-hmm.
I've told you the story. I got to bring this DVD in. In the 90s, Sandler was already a pretty big star. I was a touring comedian. I was on TV quite a bit. And, you know, I had a nice little thing going with stand-up. I loved it. It was fun. And Comedy Central liked me. They played a lot of my clips. So on their promotional CD-ROM, the two faces on the box were me and Adam Sandler. Which was fun at the time. I was like, oh, that's really nice. Thank you. You know, and knew some people at Comedy Central. And you'd think that would be a good thing. But when you have kids and they see it and they go, man, Dad, what happened? I'm like, look, he was already a huge star. They just threw me a bone because they liked me. So it's a pretty cool thing, and Sandler has had an incredible career. Very nice guy. What is your favorite movie, Conrad, of Sandler?
Ooh.
Have you seen them all, or is that one of your movies that got away?
Okay, I don't really have a favorite, but I will tell you my least favorite of his movies.
Okay.
And I rewatched it today because I was like, okay.
In honor of him?
I just rewatched it to see if I could actually like it.
Okay.
And the answer is still no. It's called Sandy Wexler. It's on Netflix.
That's the name of the movie?
Yeah. And it's about...
I haven't seen that
either. Adam Sandler plays Sandy Wexler, who is manager in Hollywood in the 1980s.
Oh, yeah. It was a remake of Broadway Danny Rose, I think, the Woody Allen film.
Okay.
I do remember this now, but I haven't seen it.
I just don't like it.
Oh, really?
I tried.
Well, if that is a remake, I don't know why you'd remake something like that. And he doesn't have to do remakes. The guy gets anything he wants made. Why would you do? And I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that was the film that was based on Broadway Danny Rose. But Eric Stone Street turned 53 today. Many of you might know him from Modern Family. He is, to me, he and Phil from Modern Family, two of the funniest sitcom characters ever. He play his favorite alter ego on the show is Fizbo the Clown. And we have a clip of that, which is funny. And he is a treasure. The guy is so funny. And we were having pizza once, right before I moved back to the Midwest. I was with my buddy Jimmy Pardo, who's been on the show, and my other friend Pat Francis, who I've been trying to get on the show to talk about his really cool podcast. And Eric Stone Street comes over. And the show was new. I hadn't even seen it yet. And he recognized Jimmy, because Jimmy has a very popular podcast called Never Not Funny. And Stone Street was a huge fan of that. So when I got home and I fell in love with the show, I'm like, oh, man, I can't believe I didn't pay more attention to that guy. I didn't know who he was at the time, but he's so talented. If you haven't seen Modern Family, check it out. It's very funny. Sofia Vergara is hilarious. Phil Dunphy, Ty Burrell, played by Ty Burrell. Eric Stone Street is hilarious. The writing is phenomenal. And helmed by created by a UW-Madison alum whose name escapes me at the moment. It'll come to me. I can't think of it. I got to go to the Google. 2 minutes already? We just got here. What is going on? All right. So that's our question tonight. Let me know, what's a movie you can't believe you haven't seen yet? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Got a lot of fun on the show tonight. Those of you who are a little older, Welcome Back, Kotter. This is the anniversary of Welcome Back, Kotter. Conrad, you're much too young to remember this, but I will tell you, you missed out on a gem of a show where they used phrases like, up your nose with a rubber hose. I still don't understand that to this day, but it put John Travolta on the map. And it was like, I don't know if I could sit through an episode of that now, but in the 70s, I loved it. It was great. What else did I want to get to? Dom's show, movies you got away. Oh, Sputnik Fest. Okay, real quick, on Saturday, I judged a costume contest at Sputnik Fest in Manitowoc. So much fun. If you've never been to Sputnik Fest, you got to check it out. And there's no foul play here, but Amanda Nimmer's son took second place in the kids' costume department. I didn't even know it was her son. He takes second. I'm the one that has to give him his certificate of victory for coming in second. Cutest kid ever, except for my kids. It was really fun. And people might think that's suspicious, but I honestly had no idea. And Greg Vadney, it was fun at Sputnik Fest Saturday. Check it out if you haven't. Next year should be fun, too. Greg Liana coming up at 6:35. When we come back, we're going to talk about James Earl Jones and his legacy. He passed away today at 93. This is Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. He's gone. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Sometimes life's challenges leave you feeling alone. We all need someone who understands and listens without judgment. That's what the 988 Wisconsin Lifeline is for. 988 is free and confidential. Trained counselors are ready to listen and provide support 24/7 for mental health and substance use concerns. You can contact 988 for yourself or for someone you know. Don't wait. Call or text 988 or chat online at 988wisconsin.org. 988 24/7. Call, text, chat. Here to support you.
Brought to you by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
The Morning Show on WFHR. It's serious comedy.
Many people struggle with a lot of these things, though, like making and maintaining friends, making new friends. Mm. These are things that actually, like, I'm very envious of the people that are good at making friends or can just start a conversation with just about anybody.
What people don't understand is that's why James hired me and Melissa, not because, you know, we're talented or anything. He's lonely.
Very.
That's how he gets friends. He hires them to work with him.
My friend's contact list, it is three.
Weekdays from 8 to 10.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back. So we got some text here for our question of the night, which is, what is a movie you can't believe you haven't seen? Sherry checks in from Horicon with her usual evening greeting. Hi, Pete and Conrad. Hey, Sherry. Great to have you with us. From the 216, Pulp Fiction. That's a good one. And it's a great movie. It's not for everyone. No, it's Tarantino. He's going to have his violence. He's going to have his, like, sexual perversions, like Conrad does.
Wait.
I was wondering if you were going to respond to that. Jeez. Pulp Fiction. Have you seen Pulp Fiction?
Yes, I have.
Yeah. Great movie. I loved it. It's probably my favorite one of Tarantino's. But no, I take that back. I think Once Upon a Time in Hollywood I like better. Although Pulp Fiction is more unique and crazy.
Yeah, it's definitely crazy.
Yeah. I was watching Pulp Fiction. I think I've told this story too. I was with a comic named Mick Lazinski. We were working in Indianapolis. Mick was a Milwaukee comic. He was headlining. I was in the middle spot. So we go to see Pulp Fiction. I knew I was going to love it the second the music comes on. So there's a scene in the film where they flash back. Travolta gets blown away. They flash back and he's alive. And the guy in front of us, there's only like three other people in the theater. He starts going, "What? Wait a minute. What's going on here?" Like, dude, it's nonlinear storytelling. Relax. He thought they made a mistake and sent the wrong copy of the film or something, like a bad edit or something. Very funny. Chris Casper checking in from the 608. How about Star Wars or Lord of the Rings, Pete? How about that, Chris? You haven't seen either? Or is he challenging me, thinking I haven't seen those? I don't know. I need clarification, Chris. One of our crack engineers here at Civic Media. And from the 814, Jameson in Pennsylvania says, this is a bit embarrassing. I'm 44, born in 1980. I've never seen Jaws. It's not embarrassing. They just get away from us, right, Jameson? I mean, I haven't seen Sully. Sully isn't Jaws, but that was the inspiration of the question. And you have plenty of time, Jameson, to check out Jaws. And you'll ask yourself a lot of questions watching Jaws. Like, why? I know there's so many weird things about that movie. Remember we showed, or we played Richard Jenny's bit?
Yeah.
That's a great bit. Jaws 3, yeah. The family moves to Florida to get away from the shark. The shark has beat the jet to Florida, coming after the family. It's so great. Great answers. Keep them coming. Is our Facebook stream still down?
Yes.
Okay. So people can't see me. Is that correct?
We can go on YouTube or Twitter or X.
Oh, I'm asking because I have a spot on my shirt. I wore this shirt to the aforementioned Sputnik Fest, and I got a little Sputnik on my pocket.
Is that a little piece of the...
No, of the satellite? No. That is a fascinating thing. I mean, the fact that a Russian satellite loses a piece and it crashes in Manitowoc, Wisconsin, in front of an art museum. Are you kidding me? It's nuts. So that was interesting. No, I've had a taste for like some type of Asian food, Thai, Chinese, whatever, for like a month. And I was so hungry after Sputnik Fest from all the judging. Judging takes it out of me. I always work up an appetite when I'm judging contests. It's happened 3 times.
Okay. Okay.
But anyway, so I went to Panda Express. I got like the 3-entree meal, which is about the best food you can get when you're hungry. But I dropped a piece of orange chicken on my shirt, and a woman saw me and gave me the head shake. Like, really, lady? You've never spilled food? First of all, I was eating like I just got out of a POW camp. I was starving, and that was probably what she was shaking her head at. But yeah, she was judging me. We're both at Panda Express. We're both at the same point in life at this moment. Do you have to shake your head? But anyway, it's still there, and I forgot about it until after I put the shirt on. So, all right, so James Earl Jones passed away today. I don't know. Let's do Meet the Parents first. Let's do Greg's clip. Greg Liana is here at 6:35. His indie film, Meet the Parents, that was shot for $50,000. Brilliant movie. So funny. Greg will be here. He's trying to release his version, and it's going to have a screening soon just over the border. Not just over the border, but worth the drive over the border. And here is a clip. What is this, the clip we played months ago too?
Oh, Penny great, Saved is a Penny.
It's a great clip. Okay, so this is Greg meeting his fiance's in-laws, Meet the Parents.
You really have a beautiful home here.
Oh, thank you.
I've always prided myself in being able to provide my family with a very nice home to live in.
We're going to have a lovely home too, Daddy.
Having a family means being responsible with money. You agree with that, don't you?
Oh, yes, sir. I totally agree with that, sir. I've always believed a penny saved is a penny earned. Did I say something?
Daddy's mother's name was Penny, and he keeps her ashes in an urn.
You're kidding.
The guy just gets up and walks out of the room. It's so great because this family is like the folksiest family, Midwest family you'd ever see. And the guy who plays the dad, I think his name was Dick Galloway. I don't know how I remember that, but is hilarious. They're all great. But he just gets up and walks out of the room because he can't handle that. Jim from Appleton says, I've not seen Titanic yet, which is kind of amazing since that movie is everywhere. It is. Yeah, that's a good one, Jim. If you got 3 hours, or is it 3.5? I don't remember, but that's a great one to have not seen. I'm not saying don't see it, but do we have time for James Earl Jones?
Yeah.
We do. All right, James Earl Jones passed away. Was it today or yesterday? He's 93 years old.
It's today. It was today.
It was today. Okay, so he played Darth Vader. Here is James Earl Jones talking about the role of Darth Vader.
I looped it like an actor would voice, what do you call it, lip syncing. But there was no lip, so I was lucky. I just watched his body language. And in the second one, Kirshner, because by now David Prowse knew his voice was not going to be used, so he just sort of threw the lines in. And Kirshner gave me a soundtrack with him doing the voice of Darth Vader. Kirshner's voice is like this, and you know, and, I'm imitating him badly. But it was scary as hell. Kirshner was scarier than I could ever be. I remember the second when George had a chance to counsel me, he said, we don't know what we did right, so let's just try what we did. And naturally, I wanted to make Darth Vader more interesting, more subtle, you know, more psychologically oriented, and you know, and so he said, no. What we're finding out is you got to keep his voice on a very narrow band of inflection, because he ain't human, really. So that was the answer.
James Earl Jones. This is embarrassing. This just happened recently with someone who I thought had already passed away. I thought James Earl Jones might have passed away. I knew he was really old, like in his 90s. But great actor. We'll talk more. We'll talk about James Earl Jones with Greg Liana, who's coming up next at 6:35 after Civic Media's award-winning news teams keeps you informed. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwab on the Civic Media Radio Network.
right back to where it should have been. 'Cause now she's gone and I am free. And she can't do a thing to me.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
CBS News Brief. Vice President Harris and former President Donald Trump will face off in Philadelphia tonight. Political analyst Amy Dacey says Trump has to stick to policy.
I don't think he can do his usual platitudes or personal attacks he likes to do. I think people really need to understand what's his vision. I don't think it was set out during the convention. I don't think it was set out in that first debate.
Louisianans are preparing for the arrival of a hurricane tomorrow afternoon. WWL-TV reporter Elena Turbone is in Houma, about 60 miles southwest of New Orleans.
But I'm out here just doing sandbags for other people. Probably bagged about 500.
Residents who aren't in flood zones are picking up shovels to help those who are at risk of flooding.
We're always nervous after Ida.
Firefighters are struggling to get a large wildfire under control about 20 miles south of Reno, Nevada. Truckee Meadows Fire Chief Charles Moore.
This fire is far from being out. It is still burning in heavy timber.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Some Wisconsin-raised eggs are subject to a recall. Here's Savannah Tomei Olson.
The Salmonella outbreak has gotten more than 60 people sick. And Centers for Disease Control and Prevention staff say these eggs came from a Wisconsin farm. Officials say they're from Milo's Poultry Farm in Bonduelle, that's north of Green Bay. The cartons were sold in Wisconsin, Illinois, and Michigan under the labels Milo's Poultry Farms or Tony's Fresh Market. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
Democrats are literally going to new heights to warn about the Heritage Foundation's Project 2025. Airplanes pulled banners over college football games here in Wisconsin and in other key swing states on Saturday. Donald Trump denies having a direct connection to Project 2025, but he's embraced some of its key ideas, like eliminating the federal Department of Education. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Eminem fans take note, the rapper will open the Video Music Awards. Eminem is nominated for 8 awards. On his last VMA appearance, he shared the stage with Snoop Dogg in 2022. The last time he opened the VMAs was 2010. Deadline reports that if Eminem wins even one of his 8 nominations, that would make him the most decorated male Video Music Award artist in history. He has a total of 67 nominations, which is second only to Madonna. The Video Music Awards will be broadcast Wednesday, September 11th at 7 p.m. Central on the MTV networks. There is nothing like a good snubbing. In this year's Country Music Awards, Morgan Wallen leads the field with 7 nominations, 4 for an album called I Had Some Help, on which he collaborated with Post Malone. Notably absent from the CMA nominees was Beyoncé for her album Cowboy Carter. Cowboy Carter was number 1 on the country charts for 4 weeks. The 58th annual CMA Awards will air November 20th on ABC. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
We could catch an isolated sprinkle or two at some point today, otherwise partly cloudy, a little breezy with a high in the low 80s. Tonight, partly cloudy, upper 50s to low 60s, and then tomorrow it'll be partly cloudy, not as breezy, with a high in the low to mid 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now it's 53.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Today's U.S. Bowling League Day. I am not in a bowling league. I think that would actually be kind of fun.
Oh, yeah.
I do like to bowl. But
you got the bowling shirt going on tonight there, Pete.
I do have the bowling shirt. In case the game breaks out, I'm ready. Because I was raised, I'm a street bowler, Chris. I'm ready in case a game breaks out. It could happen.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop.
That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. It's Tuesday. That means what's grinding our gears. We'll ask you what's worse and so much more. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Memories you gave of me, you can't beat the memories you gave of me.
Take one fresh and tender kiss.
The memories you gave of me.
Welcome back.
Stolen night of bliss.
Before we bring Greg in, I would like to extend a shout out to my my son, who is an absolute treasure in my life, turns 24 today, Joseph. So happy birthday, Joe. You're a great kid, and I hope you're having a great day. He is a contributor to Nightlight behind the scenes at times, too. So I can do that. I can say that now. All right, so Rex Sykes is here at 8:20. We're going to talk about the casting process, and he's going to tell us about his new book. But right now, I'm very excited to welcome back a Nightlight frequent flyer, and a very good friend of mine, and someone who I've written movies with, and we're lucky enough to have sold some, and he is the creator of the Meet the Parents franchise, and he joins us now on Nightlight, Greg Gliena. Hey, Greg.
Hey, Pete. I can't believe Joe is 24. Yeah. I remember he was born.
How about that? Okay, so for those listening, Greg would come over to my apartment, and we would write when we both lived in L.A., and Joe was like 6 months, and my wife is a teacher.
John's so cool.
Huh?
John's cool. John's cool.
So in order to be able to focus on what we were working on, I put on this thing. I think it was called like Baby Mozart or Baby Beethoven or something. And he would sit there and we would try to write. But we'd get distracted by all the shapes and images on the TV because the music was so great. John's cool. Wow. Greg, how are you?
I'm good. I'm in Park Ridge, Illinois at my sister's house.
That's so cool. I know you love Chicago, and you talked about moving back there for a year. You did a lot of complaining, Greg, when you lived in L.A., and you said you always would go back to Chicago if you had the opportunity.
Well, I haven't moved permanently. This is kind of a let's spend some time here. Place subletted, so
okay.
You know, I'm gonna experience fall Chicago.
Oh, so you're there for a while. You subletted your place.
Yeah.
Oh, very nice.
I figure I'm going to do a couple months and see how I like it.
Excellent. Well, fall is the best season in Chicago or Wisconsin, if you ask me. I love it. So good for you. I want to ask you before we jump into Meet the Parents, what do you think about James Earl Jones? Do you have a favorite James Earl Jones role?
You know, he's one of those guys, a great actor, and just was in so many movies. He would just appear.
Yeah.
I was reading about him. I was surprised that he was in Dr. Strangelove.
Oh, yeah.
He's just been in a million movies. He's one of those guys. He's just done a million movies. Great actor.
Right. Yeah. He's a lot of people don't know this. His brother was in The Sting. He played Luther.
Yeah.
He was scamming people with Paul Newman and Robert Redford, and he ended up dying. And that's kind of what propelled the story or got Robert Redford to want to get revenge against Doyle Lonergan. Played by Robert Shaw. Great movie. One of my all-time favorite movies. And his brother was a good actor, too. So, James Earl Jones. Yeah. Field of Dreams, The Lion King, all the Star Wars. The guy did okay.
All the Clear and Present Danger, those Tom Clancy. Yeah.
Oh, he was great. All right. So, you have a big screening coming up. You created Meet the Parents. It all started with you. An indie film you shot for $50,000. We'll talk about that in a minute too. But tell us about this screening. The Pickwick is in Park Ridge, Illinois, probably about 45 minutes from the border. Well worth a drive to see this comedy gem on the big screen. Tell us about the screening, Greg.
Well, it's the 30th anniversary of signing a contract and burying this film. So I figured a nice screening would be good. And we played it at the Pickwick back in the day, you know, before we sold it.
Yeah.
So I just thought it'd be nice. I'm going to attempt streaming after this. So we'll see what happens.
So when is the screening at the Pickwick, and how can people get tickets?
September 20th. It's there for the week of September 20th. You can reserve tickets on thepickwick.com, whatever the website is.
Okay.
But yeah, you can order seats now, but it's playing for a week there.
That's fantastic. That's a great theater.
Was it so well that they hold us over for another week? That would be nice.
That would be nice.
Do you have a lot of listeners in the Chicago area?
We get texts from, just because of the places I've lived, we get texts from Chicago people sometimes, LA people sometimes, and absolutely. So it's well worth, and there's a lot of Chicago people in Wisconsin that live here. So I think it's well worth mentioning. And
what's the drive? Like, it was like 2 hours or? To remember from my stand-up comedy days.
The drive from like Milwaukee or here?
From Chicago to Green or where are you?
I'm in Green Bay. We typically broadcast night from Green Bay. I would say it's a good 3 hours from here. No, it's 3.5 to 4 from where I live. I'm north of here. So this is probably 3 hours, but I'm not saying plan the weekend around it, but it's definitely worth going down for one night and seeing it on the big screen. Like I've said before.
4 hours is nothing. Yeah.
No, to see a good movie. What are you going to do? Watch a Fall Guy again? I don't think so.
Right.
But it's worth it, and it's so funny. I've said this, and I think certainly in the comedy community, it's funnier, and people outside the comedy community don't always believe me when I say, "Oh, you're just saying that because you know them." But it is funnier. It's darker. And
if I had a dollar, everybody who's told me that over the years, I would. I'd be very wealthy that way. I have a quote on the poster from Louis C.K., but I didn't use the whole quote because he said it was one of the funniest things he ever saw on a podcast. And he says, for my money, it's way, way funnier than the remake, but I didn't want to put that on the poster and antagonize Universal, you know?
Oh, right. That's so interesting.
But yeah. Some people think that, some people don't, you know, I mean, it depends on your taste and how depraved it is.
I will say one of my favorite, this is like one of my favorite preposterous memories of living in LA is you and I, and I've told the story before on the show. This is when I met Chevy Chase in the elevator. You and I went to a meeting at the Zucker Brothers, who are Wisconsinites. And you said in the middle of the movie or in the middle of the meeting, you said they ruined my movie. Right there on the headline is Meet the Parents surpasses $100 million at the box office. They won't understand any of what you're saying. All they see there is dollar signs. I mean, it was so funny. All right. So the Pickwick Theater, September 20th, are you doing any Q&As or do you have people coming in that were cast?
Friday the 20th, we're going to do a Q&A after the 7 o'clock show.
Okay. Who will be there for that?
My sister.
No, I mean, like, are you bringing
some of the cast members and Jim Vincent, who produced it, and Mary Ruth Clark, who co-wrote it with me and played the sister, will be there.
She's very funny.
The girl who wrote, there's a book coming out, the Meet the Parents story, will be there. It's coming out in the December, I think they said, in Bear Manor Press.
It's
a story of how Meet the Parents went from this little, it started with a 5-minute short, actually.
Okay.
And ended up being Hollywood blockbuster.
That's so great.
Depressing. I didn't write it, you know, and I read it and I was just depressed. It was like, oh my God.
Oh, really?
How horrible.
Well, we'll talk about the, I want to get to the book too, because I want you to tell me more about that, but tell us how Meet the Parents started. Cause it's such a great story and where you got the money. And you said it, I didn't even know it started from a 5-minute short. So tell us kind of,
I don't know if it's a great story, but I made I went to Columbia College and I kind of dropped out doing stand-up when I got involved in stand-up. And I used to make short films, and I made a film called The Vase. And it was 5 minutes. It was black and white. And it was actually a silent movie. Put the title cards on, you know, sent their vase. And I go and I break the vase. And I had this idea for expanding it. I was inspired by the Peter Sellers movie, The Party.
Oh, yeah.
Because in that movie, the entire plot is he goes to a party. You know, he's an Indian extra or whatever, and he goes to a party, and that's the whole plot. He just ruins this Hollywood party. I thought, why couldn't I just do a guy going to meet his parents? And that's the whole movie. It's just this, you know, falling apart, meeting the parents. So I became friends with the comedian Emo Phillips on the stand-up comedy circuit. And we both have a love of silent comedy and Chaplin and Keith. I told him I had this idea for possibly expanding it into a feature. And he said, well, that could be really funny. And he goes, why don't you write it? And if I like it, I'll put some money in. So I went to my friend Mary Ruth because I know she had written some plays. And we wrote the script in like under a month, I think. It was not a long time. And Emo funded it and it got made. And the tragedy began. No.
You put a negative spin on something that's put money in your pockets for 30 years.
Well, I mean, it's, you know, National Lampoon, and they were going to put it out. They ads in the magazines or National Lampoon's Meet the Parents. And then that fell through. I've heard various reasons why, but that fell through. Then we ended up cutting a film print and it played the Music Box in Chicago and did really, really well. And we just couldn't find distribution at the time. We did that. There wasn't all these film festivals and things outlets for it. The film scene hadn't really exploded. So we ended up, Steven Soderbergh saw it and he ended up taking it into Universal. He called me up and said, this should be a good movie. This is so relatable to so many people. And so that went to Universal and 5 years went by and then the movie came out, you know.
How about that? And I remember you telling me it sat on the shelves at Universal for 2 or 3 years until Jay Roach, the director, saw it and he wanted to make it. Like, they don't even know when they have something good.
They didn't like it.
Wow, that's crazy.
They never, Jay Roach told me if Earl had passed, that movie never would have got made because they just didn't believe in it. He tried to get it made. He was trying to convince them and they just didn't see it. And then, of course, a year later, you know, we did Guy Thing. It's, can you make it more like Meet the Parents? Everyone's looking for Meet the Parents. But before Meet the Parents, nobody wanted Meet the Parents.
We had Tom Lennon was on the show about 3 weeks ago. And we told some funny Guy Thing stories. But I told him the one when we were in the meeting and one of the producers said, and I don't want to say his name, but he said, can they have a scene where you have to get the bad guy, the antagonist. Can we have a scene where we have to get him to maybe he's on the Chicago Bears and we have to get him to a game. I'm like, what does that have to do with crazy?
I condensed that story to in the middle of a meeting. What if he's a football player? That's a story. Cause that's, it was like, okay, that's a different movie, but thank you.
Yeah. I love it. Give us some money. We'll go write that one.
You know, David Mamet said that nobody in Hollywood knows how to read a script. And when I first moved there, it was right before the movie had even come out.
Yeah.
And I was trying to get with an agent and some samples. So one of the samples was the version we shot of Meet the Parents. And they just ripped it up. The horrible coverage.
Oh my God. You're wrong.
Yeah. I've seen it with audiences. We've seen it with critics. You're wrong. You just don't know what you're talking about.
All right, so the independent film was successful. You saw it with an audience. It got good reviews even then. And then they made it into this huge studio blockbuster. So how are the people reading the scripts even employed? What they were wrong on, like, both levels.
Well, that was, you know, they're probably dead now. It was 25 years ago. You know, I don't know.
Oh, dear. Well,
yeah, crazy. You know, it's not the first script that has been unrecognized.
Right. So it was Ben Stiller getting interested that really got traction, right? And all of a sudden they're like, well, we got to make this.
Well, I heard it was, Jay Roach told me it was Robert De Niro. That's who the studio. Yeah. Once they got him, they saw the movie, you know?
And now I'm going to sound crazy for saying this. De Niro's great. He's De Niro. He's phenomenal. And he's good in Meet the Parents. He's really good. But the role was just over the top. Oh, he's teaching his cat how to go to the bathroom on the toilet. Ooh. And he worked for the CIA and all that stuff. Your guy, Dick Galloway, just looked like that disapproved. There's a great scene toward the end of your movie. You've made this family, your character has made this family's life hell. Inadvertently. Yeah. Right. You're not a bad guy. And then you break his Victrola and you just toss it under the couch because it's like, oh my God, not this. And then the two of you are just sitting fishing and there's just nothing but silence. And he just looks at you because he knows. And he goes, did you break my Victrola? You said, yeah, I threw it under the couch. All right, Greg Lianis here. He is the founder or the creator of the Meet the Parents franchise and my sometime writing partner and an all-around good guy. He's spending time with us here on Nightlight. We'll have more with Greg after a very short break. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
And mine, two sips of wine. Memories are made of this.
You can't beat the memories you gave. Then add the wedding bells, the one house where lovers dwell.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Matt Nair on air.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
Hi everyone, Seth here from Seth Faces the Music. You know, being the host of the award-winning second greatest radio show in the state of Wisconsin can be a lot of work. I have to come up with new themes all the time. So in the interest of clarity, here are some topics I will not be using in upcoming episodes.
Mittens, tinfoil, gastric bypass surgery, window treatments, 17th century Japanese art, outhouses, bowler hats, spam, clog dancing.
Seth Faces the Music every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. only on WFHR.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
One, two, three, four!
Our question tonight, what's a film you can't believe you haven't seen yet? You can let us know on the text line at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. What is a movie you can't believe you haven't seen yet? I thought of this because I hadn't seen Sully and it dropped today in 2016. Greg, do you have a movie you can't believe?
I'm trying to think. Yeah, I know there are. Oh, my God.
I always mean to write them down because I hear it. And I'm like, oh, my God, I got to watch that. And then I just forget about it, you know?
I've seen most of the big movies, I think.
Yeah. Well, we'll circle back. Greg Lana is here. He's the creator. What is it?
Huh? I saw Sully.
Oh, you did see Sully. How is Sully? Someone just recently told me it was great. Yeah.
That's good.
Now, Tom Hanks. Cool. He's really coming into his own. What's that?
That was Clint Eastwood, right? Directed it?
I don't know. I know it's Tom Hanks is in the acting. Hmm. I didn't know that. Conrad, should we go to the Google? Let's find out the director.
Already on it. It is Clint Eastwood.
It is Clint Eastwood. Okay. Good poll. All right. So, Greg, before we get to the book, I have to ask you, because listening to you complain about Meet the Parents, even though it is a good thing, and I know you acknowledge it's a good thing, has always cracked me up. It's like you're like this lovable curmudgeon about this great film, and you got screwed over. So I think that's part of the reason that you're upset about that. There's no question you got screwed over. But before we talk about
haven't you, even with your experience, remember Guy that kind of ruined that movie?
They ruined a guy.
Am I wrong about that? Yeah, that was a great script. It's like,
right?
It's not unusual, but I think they.
No, you're no question. And Greg and I have sold a few scripts together. Only one of which got made, a guy thing. It has funny moments. But you're right. There were too many cooks in the kitchen. Everybody wanted to make a great film, but they all had different views of comedy or what should stay and what should go. And that's how, in my opinion, and I have gotten there probably from our years of just talking about comedy while we were writing, it has to be kind of either a writer director, one vision, or a director who really gets the writer. Those are the most successful comedies. The Farrelly Brothers, Harold Ramis, Woody Allen, Albert Brooks.
One who's upset, you know, Emo had a famous joke. Emo Phillips, who put the money up for it, he said, "Yeah, I know how the Indians felt who sold Manhattan for beads."
Yeah, right. I remember that.
But I'm positive next to him, you know, because he was like complaining. And I said, "Emo, if you knew when I went to you and I said, we need $30,000 to make this movie, you'll get all your money back. Plus you'll make another, you know, $150,000 or something. He would have been thrilled.
Yeah.
It's only when you know that the movie made $500 million that, wait a minute, we could have got more.
So, okay. So let's talk about that process, Greg, that whole process from when the director Steven Soderbergh saw it, took it to Universal, it got made, Jay Roach saw it, you got Ben Stiller, Robert De Niro. What would you do differently? I mean, it was all out of your control once you sold it. What would you have happened differently?
What would I have done differently? Well, I would have, A, got the rights to release mine. I didn't have to wait 30 years to, you know, release my version.
Wow.
And there was an arbitration at the Writers Guild. And, you know, a lot of the stuff that's in this book, I didn't even know. Or I blocked down. This writer, who I won't mention his name, is going to be very unhappy with this book.
Right.
But, you know, the thing is, when we, Steven Soderbergh, they flew us, Mary Ruth and I, to New York, and we developed it with him. And we did two drafts, and the Writers Guild ignored those two drafts. Like, right. They didn't happen. And they just, the guy who did the rewrite, the first rights, they considered his draft to be the first draft. And I don't know how they can do that. You know, we did two drafts that were different than my movie. I mean, there's a lot that in right. my movie, but there's a lot that, you know, we were the gas station guy, and we had Mr. Boyfriend was Mr. Wonderful, and we had a happy ending. So we really kind of got screwed by the Writers Guild, I think.
Well, I remember the story, too, that other writer who will be talked about in the book took your name off the script and just handed it in with only his name on it. And that's against Writers Guild regulation or rules. No.
He didn't care.
No.
But he actually, I found out in this book, went to the arbitration and tried to say all these drafts they did were just to the movie. They're not.
They were just what?
Transcripts. That there was nothing different. We just rewrote our movie. Gosh. And that was just factually wrong.
It's weird, too, because we have a mutual friend who's kind of friends with that guy. And he knows the whole story and he doesn't approve of it. And they're not tight, but he goes to stuff and he's there and he's like always in the back of my mind. I'm like, this is the guy that did that. You know, like,
Laura, who wrote the book, Laura Enright, interviewed him and actually called him out on some of this stuff. So
what is the name of the book, Greg? And when does it hit the shelves, so to speak?
The Meet the Parents story, the true and terrible story of how an independent film spawned a $1 billion franchise.
Jeez. Okay. Laura Enright.
A cautionary tale for writers.
Yeah. So it's Laura Enright. And when does it hit December, you said?
She told me December, yeah.
Okay. Meet the Parents.
Bear Manor Press, I think, is the company.
Okay.
That will be releasing.
I always love when they put the company on there. It's like, nobody's ever bought a book because it was published by Harper's. You know, it's like from the studio that brought you Bad Girl. Nobody cares. Nobody cares about the studio that made the film.
Yeah, you're right. I should mention.
Let me ask you this. What do you like about the studio version of your film? You got to find something that you really liked.
You know, I didn't hate it. I didn't dislike it. It's just that, like, why do you keep the urn but drop the penny save penny earn joke? You know, or why? Stuff kind of baffled me that why would you take this out, you know, and it was funny. There's a funny situation to begin with, and Ben Stiller was great and De Niro was great, but
right, but Ben Stiller was not as good as you, is that what I'm hearing?
I didn't say that.
All right, so September 20th for the whole week, it's going to be at the Pickwick Theater in Park Ridge, Illinois. Listen, if you live in Southeast Wisconsin or somewhere where it's a day trip, it's definitely worth the drive. You can watch it other places, but I won't even say them because I want people to go see it on a big screen. That is the place to see any movie.
We are going to attempt to get, streaming. We'll see.
Yeah, that's okay. We'll talk about that too. Can you stick around for a few more minutes, Greg?
Yes.
Greg, okay, perfect. So Greg Liana is here. He is the writer, a creator of the Meet the Parents franchise and my sometime writing partner. And he is here spending time with us on Nightlight. We'll have more with Greg after your award-winning news. I'm Pete Schwab. This is Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Dynamite, I'm gonna dig up little girl. Oh.
Locally Grown Radio, WFHR.
Pat Kreitlow.
Tuesday morning, Hans Breitenmoser helps us with a little manure 101. There's a lot to know about finding the right balance between good crops and dirty water.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Let's get back to live music in the lair with Kaylin Cole. The next song you have for us tonight is called 1103. Yes. Is that a time or a flight number?
Oh, that's actually really good. That's a good idea. I think I might have to write another song with that. You'll get 50%.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at MaxIncRadio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.